gentlemen, boys, and girls. They call me the Gnarly Gnome, and they call this the Weekly Pint. Not because it's a show, because it's not a show. No, because it's a happy hour. And happy hours, you have a pint weekly when you go to happy hour. I don't actually know. It was just a fun name to call it. That's the truth. But I'm glad to have you here. As you jump on the stream, please tell me what it is you're drinking, because a critical part of happy hours is the drinking aspect. We drink together, and it doesn't have to be beer. It doesn't have to be anything alcoholic. I recommend alcohol, though. It makes a Monday night go a little happier. So tell me what it is you're drinking. And there's some good stuff that everybody's jumping in with already. I didn't get the mouse out, so I can't scroll. Let's see. Okay. Chris is having Liquid Harmony from Third Eye. Marco's having a Rounding Third. Josh knocking back a College Hill Lager from Brink. Julia's having West Side's Honor Beer. Ryan's having Pearlescent from Esoteric. Chris is now drinking Stir Fry. That works too. Like, that does count. We'll accept it. Jeremy is having the Weissenbach from Grainworks. Ryan says that he went to BC's and sadly Marco wasn't there. Okay, I need something to drink, and as you can see, there's an empty glass in front of me, and there's only one thing that is proper to do with an empty glass. There's two things. You can either pick it up and smash it against the wall in anger for it being empty, or you can fill it up. And I think I'm going to fill it up because I don't want to clean up broken glass all over the studio. It wouldn't be the first time. I believe you guys have seen me break glassware on this show before. All right, as usual, the schnappening brought to you by the fine folks at Bekarovka. Not really brought to you. It's not sponsored, but I am killing a whole bottle of Bekarovka in some kind of act of nostalgic joy. Bekarovka, if you're new to the Weekly Pint, is the schnapp of choice, even though it's not a schnapp. It's the schnapp of choice because it smells and tastes like my grandpa, and I like that. So that's what we're starting with. It's probably not going to surprise me anymore. No, it doesn't surprise me. It's just pure joy and happiness. I wonder if there's other obscure Czech spirits that I would like. I bet there are. But there's a lot of European spirits in general that I've never heard of that I would like. If you stumble across any obscure European spirits that you think I need to know about, please screenshot them, take a picture of them, bring me a bottle, whatever works for you. Let me know. Oh, that just, like, it's been, things have been really, really chaotic trying to adjust to new schedules in my house. And it's been a little stressful for everybody. Today is no exception. It was a very stressful day. And this kind of makes it feel okay. This kind of takes all that stress away and makes it kind of fun. It's very interesting the way that works. That's a big part of why this show actually exists. I don't know if everybody remembers kind of when the show started. It actually started right before COVID, a few months before COVID, but it was just for gnomies. If you're not a gnomie, by the way, you should become a gnomie. You should go to thegnarlygnome.com/support. It's how people support all of the things that I do, and it does help a ton. But when I first made the show, the idea was it was going to be an exclusive podcast just for gnomies. It was audio only the first couple episodes, just me kind of rambling down here in the basement as I was kind of building out this podcast studio, which timing worked out great. I started kind of putting this studio together. This used to just be like a gear closet, and it still is. Like the walls are just covered in equipment for work and things. But I decided that I needed to have a better space in the house to record, which I had used this room for kind of off and on throughout the years, but never a dedicated space. So I started kind of building out the set here with the intention of using it, especially for episodes of Drinking with the Gnome and things like that, where I wasn't going out to a brewery to record a podcast. I still wanted to be able to record that podcast. Little did I know that just a few months later, the world would shut down with the pandemic, and everything would have to be recorded from here. And that was when I kind of changed the show and decided that I needed to do a weekly show and hang out with everybody. So that's kind of the origin story a little bit. If you if you're new here, welcome. We just sit around and we drink together and talk about things. And I've got some stuff I want to talk about. I have several big topics that I want to talk about. Also, we probably need to do label approvals tonight because it's been a while since I've done label approvals. I have a new technique that I'm going to do with them though, but we'll talk about that later. Before we talk about anything, I need to get into a beer, so I have to finish this. I get to finish this. I don't have to. I get to. It's a privilege that I am that has been bestowed upon me. The schnapp gods looked down upon me and said, "You gnome, you may finish this schnapps, the schnapps that is not a schnapps." And I said, "Well, thank you, schnapp gods. You don't want to anger the schnapp gods. If you anger the schnapp gods, you know what ends up in your glass." This is what happens when you anger the schnapp gods. That's also why it sits there, because I tend to anger deities on a regular basis.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay. First topic of the night, and then we'll open a beer. We got to talk about weed. You know, we've talked about it over the last what, 3 or 4 months. This very and it's not strange, this battle between our government and the people who just want a tasty THC drink. Weed water, as I call them. The industry exploded. It grew. People loved it. It was this really great solution for people that didn't want to sit there and smoke weed, but just wanted a little bit of the effect that it gives you. And I do say a little bit because a lot of these beverages are very mild. A lot of people can enjoy them that necessarily wouldn't enjoy traditional weed consumption. And yet somehow, after this this industry has grown, after the people of the state of Ohio have made it very clear that we are A-okay with THC, and especially when we're talking about beverages available at regular retailers, that is what we want. And wonderful legislation was written, and it helped kind of start laying out a regulatory framework for this stuff. And in that legislation, it allowed retailers to keep selling THC beverages, and it allowed manufacturers to keep manufacturing these beverages while this was all kind of getting figured out. And somehow the governor of the state of Ohio, Mike DeWine, you see him battling that, that hemp plant there with his boxing gloves. Somehow he managed to take this legislation, look at it, and be like, "I'm going to change this. I, King of Ohio, will change this legislation to how I want it to be." And so he got out his highlighter and his marker, and he just started going to town on it. And now this is the legislation that you should have written. This is it. It has been spoken. The King of Ohio has told you what you will follow. And that's where we're at. THC beverages are now illegal in the state of Ohio. You can drive across the state lines into Kentucky and purchase and consume there. You cannot bring them back into Ohio. It is illegal. I will say this. Okay. The recent legislation made it illegal to buy the beverages across state lines and then bring them into Ohio. I'm getting there, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you for the link. The legislation has made it illegal to go out of state and bring these beverages back into the state of Ohio. Look, I would never, especially live on the internet or on this show, encourage people to break the law ever. That would be a terrible thing to do. But I will point out that it is also illegal to drive to the state of Kentucky and purchase alcohol and bring it across the state line. I think that there is like a line there, but I don't think it's very much. I think it's like a liter of alcohol that you can purchase and bring across. Any more than that, it's against the law. You are breaking the law in the same way that you would be breaking the law if you went across the state lines and purchased THC beverages and brought them over into Ohio. Same kind of legality. It might be a felony. I don't know. I don't know, and it's all ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I will tell you straight up, I have gone to Kentucky and purchased alcohol many times, always a little bit under whatever that legal limit is that I don't know off the top of my head, always, because I abide by the law. But I do that, and I think that we should be able to do that. I also think that we should be able to just buy it here. I don't understand. I none of it makes any sense to me. When I think about it, it makes me mad. It makes me disappointed in the way our government continues to run. It makes me sad that more people aren't absolutely infuriated by it. And I recognize there are a lot of people that are, and there's a lot of people working to kind of fix the problem. It makes me mad. If you want to help, Ryan put the link in the chat there. You can go to saveohiobevs.com and sign the petition there. I don't understand how it happened. I don't understand how we can stop it. I don't understand. I don't know what we can do. I actually don't. I feel very helpless. Not just with this, in the bigger sense of kind of the state of the world around us and trying to stop this long, slow slide of misery that our society is in. And it's not just political, but that's obviously part of it. It's way deeper than that. We're in a rough spot right now as a as a culture and as a species. We're in a rough spot. I think we'll come out the other side. We'll be fine, but it's gonna be tough for everybody. And it's kind of depressing to think about sometimes. That is why we drink. That is why we drink. This has been hanging out in my fridge, and why the heck not? I didn't realize it was 9.7% ABV. All right, we're gonna do that. This is from High Grain. It's called Citrus Rush. It is an IPA. I'm gonna guess that it's a very citrusy IPA. I don't know that though. It's gonna tell me on here. We're gonna read it. It says tangerine, pine, grapefruit. Open an explosive wave of citrus, like a rush of... Hang on, there's a sticker. I got to get that off. Thanks, Jungle Gems, for putting stickers on my cans. Look, I get it. It makes it so I can buy singles, and you can scan them real easy, but man, it just boogers up my cans. All right. Like a rush of liquid sunshine. This double IPA is a high-octane blast of zesty tangerine, ruby grapefruit, and bright lime. Lime? I didn't even say that on there. Okay. Intense hop character delivers a bold and juicy experience that's vibrant and energetic. It's very confusing. So the three words are tangerine, pine, and grapefruit. But then when they're describing it, tangerine, ruby grapefruit, and bright lime. Okay, you just brought that one in. I wasn't expecting that. Okay. It sounds delicious, though. Josh says, we were just at High Grain. I tried a different IPA when I was there and then had a Dunkel. Ryan says this is a very different label for High Grain. High Grain has kind of evolved a few times kind of with their labels. It is, I'll tell you what's the most different about it. And this is something that might, slip past a lot of people. When you look at this label, is that too dark for anybody? Here. Let me, I can't do it that way. Hang on. Let me turn the light up just a skosh. If I can remember which one this one is. It's this one. There we go. Oh yeah. Look at that. Okay. What's really interesting about this can is not just kind of the design on it. This might be the first can of theirs where the actual name of the beer is bigger than the style. Usually they flip that and style is really big. And then down here, tiny at the bottom, is the name of the beer. That's an interesting change. It's fine. I just don't know that I like it. I mean, that's kind of one of the things I love about High Grain. I'm not sure how I feel about them going with the gold top on this. There's a lot of white and a lot of silver, and then the gold. I don't know how I feel about it. I love gold tops, but I don't know if I like it on this one. Now that we're done nitpicking, let's get a glass and let's drink it, because that's what you do to a beer. You don't nitpick. You drink. All right. This was packaged in, that's what the kids call dank. I can smell it as soon as I open it up. This is from beginning of February, February 11th, so it's not that old. It's fine. All right. Get a good pour on this. Get those hops breaking free. Aromatics drifting through the room. All right. Julie says, maybe they got a deal on the gold taps or winning on a shit ton of them with another brewery to get a bulk discount. That's possible. I am a huge, huge fan of like little details like that on the packaging. Some of my favorite package releases are with like gold tops or the black tops. Things like that. I think it looks great. I love it. All right. Well, that settles down. We'll get my nose in here. It's bright. It's pretty clear, which evidently people still know how to do. Thank God. All right. The dankiness is kind of drifting away, and now I'm getting... definitely citrus. Surprise, surprise. Grapefruit is dominant. I need to reset my nose. Is that what I do here, Cincy Brew Dads? Smell myself. Yeah, just like a big kind of grapefruity aroma. I'm curious if I get anything else when I start to taste it. It does smell good. All right, let's see. Oh yeah. That's a great beer. Um the alcohol is definitely hidden in there. I mean, it's there, and if you are conscious of it, you can definitely alert yourself right away that this is a big beer. But there is a man, that's fun. Yeah, citrusy, big kind of there. It's a little soft. Like it's not bitter, which I like bitter IPAs. It's definitely on the soft side, but the big kind of grapefruity personality of it kind of scratches that itch a little bit. I wouldn't call it bitter grapefruit, but I think the alcohol kind of tames that back. Hmm. That's a good beer. Yeah, when you drink it, it starts leaning like it's going to get bitter. And you're like, here it comes. And then all of a sudden, Ryan makes the joke that is it a rush of citrus? It kind of is. As soon as that bitterness starts to hit your palate, then there's this big kind of sweet fruitiness that kind of washes over it and takes it away and leaves you kind of like, oh, what was that? What just happened? And it's not just like the sweet kind of fruitiness. It's the sweetness from the alcohol too. Like it just kind of takes that bitterness. Like I wonder, is the bitterness technically there and everything else is just beating it into submission? I don't know. I don't know how that works. I don't understand the science of it. Oh man, that's so fun. Mm. I don't often drink IPAs, and I most definitely don't often drink 9.7% ABV IPAs, because I'm usually when I'm drinking, I'm not at home. I usually go somewhere to enjoy the company of others, or drink beer from the source. I do drink beer at home, but most of the beers that I drink are not here, and when I'm not here, I'm not sitting down and crushing a couple 9.7% IPAs because you still have to get home somehow. So I don't like if I was out somewhere and I saw this, I'm probably passing it up. I might do like a little taster of it, but I don't know that you really get the full appreciation of a beer like this with just a little squirt or even like a little 4-ounce taster. I think you need to kind of dive into it. And I think I did. I think I already drank more than 4 ounces. That's pretty quick to do that. Whatever. Good thing it's the weekend. All right. I'm gonna go on record. This is a great beer, and I enjoy it. Citrus Rush, that's what it's called. I threw the can away and now I don't know. Are you getting Julie wants to know if I'm getting the rush of lime. I'm not getting a lot of lime. This is one of those beers though, where if you start saying different fruits, I might be able to pick them out and be like, yeah, I think I get that. Like if you tell me lime, I might be able to make up lime in here. Chris says, is it similar to Truthadelic and Nirvana or Bust? No. I think that it's similar. I think that you would, if you like those beers, you would like this. I think that especially Truthadelic is just way, way, way fluffier. Like this has a softness to it, but it's not as fluffy. It's still kind of, it teeters right on that edge of being West Coast. This is not a West Coast IPA, but it teeters on the edge. It pokes at it. And I don't think Truthadelic does at all. I don't know the last time I've had Nirvana or Bust, so I can't make an accurate stab. Name a fruit. Let me see if I can pick out a fruit. Just name any fruit that you can think of, and I'll see if I can pick it out of here. Because I'm pretty sure that's a thing that happens. You could say like cheeseburger, and I could like find cheeseburger in the beer. I mean, when I sniff myself, I'm resetting, but I'm also just smelling like cheeseburger. bacon, sausage. Like, I just, that's all I smell is just the meat that is on my skin. Apricots, let me see. Yep, I get a little hint of apricot. I don't even know what apricot really smells like. But I do think I smell it. Like 100%. Yeah, no, I 100% I smell apricots now. Oh, I'm glad I picked that one tonight. Durian. All right, you win, Marco. I don't smell durian. I do when I sniff myself. Durian. I was going back and forth between a couple beers, and I have another one sitting here because I'm going to probably drink two beers tonight. It's that kind of night. And I was going to drink that one first. That was the first one I pulled out. And then I saw this one sitting there kind of right behind it. I'm like, oh, you know what? I think it's an IPA night. Malort, do you get a hint of Malort from it? No, and I'm not going to. Your father smells of elderberries. Okay. Moving on. So THC, illegal. That sucks. That's upsetting. We understand that. And we're going to click on that link that Ryan posted, and we're going to go and we're going to sign a petition that I don't actually know what it does, but we're going to sign it, and we're going to raise hell. Whatever hell we can raise. I have no idea what we can do. The more I think about it, the more upset that I get. So I don't want to think about it. I think about like all of those places that were like thinking about doing it and what that could have done to their business or what it could have done to the segment and the industry, and just, it makes me so mad. John says, hi from Dayton. Should I come crash? Absolutely. I'm like, depending on where in Dayton you are, it's like, it could be less than an hour just to get here. Ryan says the link sends an email to your district's representatives. Fantastic. Okay, moving on. I you know what? Again, click the link, sign up, send emails to your representatives. I'm not encouraging anybody to go poop on the steps of the state capitol, but we might have to get there at some point. This makes me so mad. It makes me so mad. Don't do that. I think that's probably against the law. And I don't encourage people to break the law, as we talked about earlier. Don't do it. Okay. Chris, that's my rep is a moron. It sounds like all of our reps are morons by the way this all worked. John says, kidding, I have a full beer at Toxic right now. I haven't been to Toxic for a while. How's the beer? What are you drinking? All right, I'm going to go ahead and talk about this one. So I was also in Dayton this last weekend. I'm not going to be in Dayton for the conference because life took over. I was going to be in Dayton for the conference, and then the snowstorm messed everything up, and now I can't be in Dayton for the conference, and that's really kind of upsetting me right now that I'm not hanging out in Dayton. I got a whole bunch of like hotel points I could have used, and I could have had a great couple days in Dayton, and instead I'm here hiding in the basement by myself trying to figure out if I'm able to poop on the state capitol steps. I wouldn't do that, of course. That's a joke. I was in Dayton this weekend. I drove up to Dayton to Centerville. I didn't actually go all the way to Dayton. I went almost to Dayton to hang out with Blake the Brewery Explorer on his podcast. He was hanging out at Loose Ends to tap a collaboration beer that he did to celebrate the anniversary of his podcast, which is awesome. Shout out to Blake. That episode is up already if you want to go listen to it. We talked about weed a whole lot. Surprise, surprise. We talked about all kinds of stuff. It was a ton of fun. And on the way home, I decided I was going to stop for some dinner somewhere. And I'm like, you know what? Like, it's been a long time since I've stopped out at Fig Leaf. I'm going to stop at Fig Leaf. I'm going to grab some food there and I'm going to see what's going on. And the place was hopping, super busy. Weather was great, if you remember this weekend. The weather was amazing. And I was sitting down getting my beer and kind of looking at the tap list, and I noticed that there was not just one, not just two. I think there might have been four different guest beers, and they were not like crazy, like craft guest beers that it's like, oh my God, like we just really wanted to show our support for this beer. There was like bourbon barrel ale. There was zombie dust, which is okay, maybe. And then I can't remember what the one was. I could look it up, but that's too much work. And then there was Elvis juice, which, look, shout out to Tilray. As a stockholder of Tilray, I'm always supporting my boys. it was beers that just didn't even get me excited as a craft beer drinker. And it brings up a couple questions that I know when for a lot of you guys, or probably most of you guys, when you sit down at a tap room in a facility that is an actual brewery, so you see the brew house right there, and they start shifting and having guest beers, even if it's a temporary thing, it raises a lot of questions and a lot of red flags at the same time of why does this exist? And there's a lot of reasons that it can't exist. And I'm not going to assume what those reasons are, because that's not fair. Well, I'm not going to assume out loud what some of those reasons are, because that's not fair, because it could be a lot of different things. I will say that, like, as we're looking from a kind of a bird's eye craft beer drinker view of the March 1st family, you have to remember that they just closed not only this huge flagship Fountain Square location, and not only did they close Woodburn, which was granted a very different type of location than Fig Leaf or the March 1st Fountain Square, they also, we talked about it a lot on this show, but early this year they were selling beer for really, really Bumbleberry, there we go, that was the other one. For really, really cheap prices. They were selling beer at a price that only made sense if they were trying to get rid of a whole bunch of beer. And I believe that was at, was it at Fig Leaf or was it at, I think it was at Fig Leaf. I can't remember now. Or was it at March 1st Blue Ash? We talked a lot at that time about what that means and why would you do that? The only things at that time that we could come up with were not good. And when I sit down as a craft beer drinker, I'll speculate. This is my opinion. When I sit down as a craft beer drinker and I see a brewery that is now all of a sudden selling other people's, beer, number one, you're disrespecting your own beer by doing that. Unless, and there are occasions where you'll put on a guest tap because it's friends of yours, or it's a beer that you really, really, really respect, or it's a collaboration beer or something like that. And that might make sense. But Elvis juice, bourbon barrel, I don't get that. Bumbleberry, maybe. Fatheads is a great brewery. Bumbleberry isn't the beer that makes sense, though. I don't know. It just seems strange from my perspective. And like, I will always call places out that do this. Ryan says they don't have any local friends to put on tap. I mean, BrewDog is kind of local. They're up there. They're in Columbus. Josh says, brood hug. Ooh, dog. Look, they're owned by Tilray. It's fine. Different group now. There are some breweries that have done something similar. Namely, the first one that popped out when I was thinking about it was Barleycorns. And I gave Barleycorns a whole bunch of crap when they put on like three different light beers next to their own beers. And I get it. Again, it was a decision from ownership that they thought that their fans wanted a whole bunch of crappy macro light beer, and maybe they do. And that, but in a brewery, it doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel right. And I still stand by that it doesn't feel right. There are plenty of places that do that. I mean, we'll go this direction. We'll go, the Lager House, the Cincinnati Lager House down at the Banks, which huge shout out. They are redefining themselves in a really fun way right now. They, either just made the announcement or getting ready to make the announcement. I don't know. They are doing a big event for opening day. And part of that event is that outside in the beer garden, they're bringing in a bunch of other local breweries. We'll get there. I'm getting ahead of myself in my head. They're bringing in other local breweries to not only one, support those breweries that if I'm from the outside looking in again, which I am, breweries that you used to be able to buy in Great American Ballpark, but you can't anymore for some reason. I don't really know why. I do, and I'll let you kind of fill in the blanks. You can't buy them in the ballpark anymore, but you've now got the Lager House that is supporting these brands, creating an event where you can hang out and hang out at the Banks, hang out in the beer garden, drink great local beer, and have a good time. That makes sense. It makes sense with the personality of what the Lager House wants to be. This idea of celebrating not just Cincinnati beer from the perspective of the things that they brew, but Cincinnati beer from a much bigger perspective. I say all of this, and I will answer your question, Zach. I say all of this also knowing that, yes, if you walk into the Lager House, you can probably get a Bud Light and you can probably get a Miller Light. I'm pretty sure they have those. They are not prominently displayed. They are tucked away. And that's part of the nature of being a business at the Banks and being right outside of a ballpark. And it doesn't bother me the same way. I can't actually understand why, but it doesn't bother me the same way as walking into a craft brewery and you sit down and you sit at the bar, and then right there, right in front of your face, not only is there a tap for one of these beers, the tap is bigger than your own beer taps. It stands out. It's like, you might as well put 17 spotlights on it. Here is this beer that is not ours. The centerpiece of our tap wall, not our beer. That's what it seems like. And I there's a brewery that I won't shout out, but you guys know who it was, because when they opened, they did that. Right in the middle of their tap wall was this big, giant Mick Ultra tap. And I called them out at that time, and I was like, you don't have to do it this way. Like, I get if you want to have an A1A, you need to provide somebody else's product. You have to legally. But it doesn't have to be on tap, and it doesn't have to have a tap handle that's bigger than everybody else's, right in the middle, right in front of your face. There's a better way to do this. I don't like it. I just don't like it. And we've seen horror stories when we see things like this happen. I mean, just recently, which we'll talk about in a second, just recently, Bad Tom Smith, I don't know if I ever called them out of that's where I was. I posted a picture that I was sitting at a bar and sitting on top of the beer taps, which there were not as many beers on tap as there used to be. But then there was a Budweiser and a Victoria and something else, probably a Corona or something that you could buy. And it's like, that's, look, you're saying something about your own beer if you're prominently offering stuff like that. You're saying something about how you feel about it. You're saying something about how you think your customers feel about it or your customers will feel about it. I don't like it. When OTR Stillhouse kind of started phasing out their own beer, I didn't like that. I just didn't like it. Ryan says, it's okay. The taps that say Fig Leaf aren't even Fig Leaf beers anyway. They are. They're all Fig Leaf beers. It's confusing. And this just makes it that much more confusing. If you want to turn into a bar, turn into a bar. And that's fine. Like, I don't fault anybody for however they want to direct their business. But let us love you for being a Cincinnati brewery. Let us make beer that helps us love your beer. I think the last article that I wrote about March 1st was, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, maybe. I don't even know. The time doesn't make sense. But it was about this. No, it was longer than that. It was about this change in their beer because I stopped in and I tried a bunch of beer and the beer was better than it had been in a very long time. I was excited about the beer program. And now I go into Fig Leaf and it makes me worried about the beer program. And as a craft beer fan, like, I don't want that. I just don't want that. Let's see. Okay. Zach, get to your first answer or your first question. Now that BrewDog is owned by somebody else, do you still hate them? As of right now, yeah. Like, yeah, I still hate them. That's not fair. Like, I don't have the same hatred for BrewDog that I did with the previous ownership group that they had. I don't know if it's better or worse because now I just have no feeling at all towards them in the same way that, like, Breckenridge and Shock Top and Sweetwater. Like, I just have no feeling about the brand anymore. It's words on paper. It's a logo on a can somewhere on a shelf. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. And that maybe that's better. It doesn't have the anger that I would have sometimes for some of the other brands, but it's just nothing. It's just nothing. Zach says, I also have another question I wanted to come onto this live chat about. Since there is now a ban on THC products in Ohio, could a business like 50 West that is in Ohio make the THC beverages and sell it to Kentucky, since I guess it's still legal there? Chris points out that they would have to make them out of state. Zach says, okay, I'm guessing like how Rheingeist does. No, Rheingeist has made one batch of their product that was made in Ohio. If they choose, and just like Chris pointed out, if they choose to make them again, they got to make them out of the state. Rheingeist in Ohio cannot make THC beverages. They cannot have THC beverages under their roof. They can't sell them. Nothing. They would have to start, I'm guessing, some kind of other business in a state like Kentucky or Michigan or something and create the beverage there, sell it there, and that would be that. Whether or not that makes sense for any of them, I don't know. There are contract producers in Kentucky that some places are working with, and Estazi is a great example of that. Estazi, part of Estazi's ownership is ownership of Hygrain. They can't sell their Estazi in Ohio anymore, but they're still selling it in Kentucky. It's made in Kentucky. As of right now, 50 West, you can still buy sunflower in Kentucky, but once it's gone, as of right now, they're not making any more. I assume that's the same for Costello. I'm sure they still have some for sale in Kentucky, but once it's gone, it's gone. They're not making more. And Urban has made it pretty clear that they are not making it anymore. It's done unless the law changes here. They're not opening a Kentucky facility. The cost doesn't always make sense. Julia says maybe the beer was better because it was no longer their beer. They moved it all to contract brewing. The beer where? What were we talking about? Time shift. Zach says, I'm assuming no drunk line tonight. Yeah, the drunk line's live. If you want to call in, 5677... Here, let me put the number back up. Oh, wrong button. 56770-DRINK. Yeah, it's always up. Oh, at March 1st. So, I don't know that this is doom and gloom. I don't know that it's not doom and gloom, though. It just gets under my skin. It's one of those things that just kind of bothers me. I think that the drunk line is on silent here. Let's fix that. If you tried to call Zach, sorry, it was on silent. Try again. So, is Fig Leaf closing their doors? I don't know. I can't tell you one way or another. Is March 1st evolving? Yes, definitely. I can say that without. It's very loud in my head. I don't know if it's loud. I don't know if you guys can't hear a ring at all, but it's so loud. All right, here. Hello, you're on the Weekly Pint. I assume that this is Zach Holly.
Yeah, it is. I can barely hear you. You're kind of muffled.
Oh, well, that's because I don't know why. Hang on.
Oh, damn, feedback.
Ugh, there we go. How's that?
Okay.
Is that better?
Oh, perfect. No, that is way better.
I just had to poke it deeper in the hole. It wasn't poked in all the way.
That's what she said.
Oh, that's dirty. Oh, that's dirty.
Hey, I'm thinking like Marco does, you know?
Wow. He doesn't don't do that
much anymore. Hey, Marco is a smart son of a bitch. I'm just kidding.
He is a smart son of a bitch.
No, I was just calling.
I would never say that about his mother. He is not a son of a bitch. She's a very nice lady.
Oh, yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. She's a very nice. Well, I've not met her, but I'm assuming she might be a really nice lady. I mean, he's a really nice guy. That only makes sense, right?
Well, you know, his sister's wonderful.
Well, obviously I asked a question about THC, so I'm not going to ask that. I guess one of my big questions were, one, how do you feel? I think I discussed this with you not too long ago. Maybe anybody that's actually like listening to it, like, or maybe I've said it before on Instagram. Anyway, so there's a lot of people on Instagram, right? And
there are.
There's a lot of, I've noticed like influencers, we've talked about that before, but there's a lot of influencers that have kind of run across my Instagram actually not too long ago. There's a couple of names, I'm not going to name them, where they're females who are taking pictures of themselves, but what they're doing is they're half nude pictures. Mm-hmm. And they're like basically taking a picture where there a beer's in between their boobs or okay. on their butt or something like that. And so
wait, wondered, slow down. On their butt? So describe the picture. So like, I'm an attractive. It's me. I'm an attractive person.
So
I'm bending over at my like at the waist.
You're bending over, right?
And then I'm just balancing a beer on top of my butt.
You're
a table.
Yes, you're wearing one of those. You're wearing one of those banana thongs, you're putting the beer on there, and you're posting that picture. And then you're sitting on a fridge, your beer fridge, and then you're in some, you're like in one of those, I don't know if you ever watched Borat when he was wearing that really skimpy Sacha Baron Cohen put it over, and you're posing with this.
Sure.
But you're posing to get clicks, I'm guessing. I'm supposing people look at this, a bunch of guys might go, oh my God, that's a hot chick, or you're covering the beer with your females covering over, you know, your areas of boobs, whatever. Like, I'm asking what people think of that, because in my opinion, I feel like it's kind of trashy, and women who have done that into craft beer I'm not saying they might not be into craft beer, but I feel like they're doing it more for the purpose of like, hey, I want to get all these followers. I want to get these people. And sometimes people, I think, can get money out of it. I don't know.
Slow down. I got thoughts. Okay. Number one, follow up question to you. In your opinion, what makes it trashy?
I feel like what it is is like with me and craft beer, I just think it's like, okay, here it's like, do you either like it or are you just doing this? I shouldn't be able to answer that. I'm trying to think of the best.
Sometimes like, I'm not going to say that the only reason that I exist online or on social media is to get clicks, because obviously it's not the only reason, but like, if I'm spending an extra hour making a video trying to make it funny or trying to create some kind of hook on the video that is more fun for people to watch, the only reason I'm doing that is to get more people to watch it, to get clicks. That's my way of doing that. Getting clicks is not bad. Wanting to get followers and wanting to have clicks on your content that you're making is not a bad thing. That's, to me, that's not it. If you're saying, is it trashy to use your physical appearance to help get those clicks? No, I don't think it is. I don't know that that's the type of content that I want to follow, but I don't begrudge somebody else if that's the content that they're making. I think it's when you're talking about it, it sounds great. Like, if somebody's shoving a beer between their beds, that's great.
Well, but see, that's what I think about it. I think it's like, because I get to the point, I guess, where I'm looking
sounds cold,
at it is,
but
I think
it's great.
I think it's getting past like the point of like, oh, hey, here's a really good craft beer. This is really cool. I really like this, but you're more focused on this scantily clad woman. And of course, I should be a guy and typically go, oh my God, I see almost the chick with her boobs and blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's awesome. You know, I should be that guy, which whatever. I guess it's just like, it's one of those things where it's like, because there's been conversations where I've had people where they're like, I was like, do you even like craft beer, or is it just because you're trying to start something and you say, I don't know, say somebody isn't really into craft beer, but then they use craft beer because it's super popular. They use that as a platform of posting a can of something like, I don't know, like say Treehouse or something like that.
Right.
I would actually have to ask that person if they're into craft beer. Maybe that woman really does like it, but like sometimes people do it just to like, they start to I guess you can earn money too on Instagram too. I don't know. Sometimes influencers can earn money. I don't know if that's a thing. I think that is. But I guess what I'm looking at it is like, it's like you're like reaching for something, taking something popular, like craft beer might be super popular, and you're like using it as a platform, like, look at me. But you're not, it's not really about the passion of the craft. I don't know if the passion's 100% there for the craft beer. You're just doing it just.
So let me ask you, So what is your favorite brewery right now?
My favorite what burger?
Brewery. Your favorite brewery?
Oh, brewery. I think you said my favorite burger.
I mean, I like, favorite burger too, but brewery first.
My favorite brewery, I mean, I'm very supportive of Third Eye Brewing.
Perfect.
Because of the collaboration and everything else.
So what if I told you that there was a couple people on Third Eye's staff that make beer? They show up every day and they walk into the brewery and they make the beer that you're drinking and they don't even really care about it. They just it's a manufacturing job for them, and they come in there and they dump some grain and some hops and make a product and then leave, and they go home and they drink Jack Daniels, and that's their life, and they don't care. They just don't care about the beer. Does that change something for you?
You know what? I guess that would be the I get your point in what you're trying to say. I guess it really wouldn't change on that. The whole point, yes, like I get what you're saying to me, and how you're responding to me is a very smart way of going about it. And I get what you're saying and how that would affect how if they don't really care about the beer, would that affect me the same?
Who cares?
I just hate the sex sales thing. I guess I've always hated like where it has to be, oh, a woman has to do this. I'm not saying women do this, but they have to do it
No, but they don't. You're mixing a couple different things here. The fact that people do this because sex sells with everybody, not just women, men too. Just some of us aren't very marketable, but it does sell on both ways. The fact that it can sell doesn't mean that somebody has to do it that way, and it also doesn't mean that because somebody chooses to go that way that it changes anything about the product itself. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't bother me one way or another. I think my algorithm might be a little happier if every once in a while there was a beer stuck between somebody's boobs or bounced on somebody's butt cheeks. That actually sounds kind of nice. Like sometimes.
Well, I can give you somebody to follow. No,
but I mean, that's the thing too. Like if it bothers you, if you don't like seeing, handsome men with beer bounced on their pecs, or beautiful women with beer stuck between their boobs or bounced on their butt cheeks, don't click on it, number one, because the more you click on it, the more it's going to get sent to you. Like, you can get away from it. Like, it doesn't have to be part of your craft beer experience.
Well, I guess this is, the whole point of it is I just feel like maybe I might be wrong, is I just feel like it might be putting women who really are into craft beer, because sometimes they always say, oh, I'm not saying no women like craft beer, but there's always this, sometimes I feel like there's assumption sometimes where, oh, it's a beer is a man thing or a guy thing. Not too many women like that. And it's totally not true at all. Obviously we know this. And sometimes I feel like when a woman's doing something like that, or a pretty woman is doing that, and we think that, it's just like, oh, we're only looking at this. It's almost like it's like women are so much better than this because we got some really smart people who are brewers, people who are women who are owners. And when somebody's dressing, in my opinion, looking like, oh, look at this, I'm just here to this sex sell thing. I don't know. Maybe this person might be a super smart person and make their own home brew and make the best thing ever. I guess I just get I don't want women to be looked at as just like we're in their craft beer world where it's just like, oh, it's a sex symbol. And then like
women
be
looked at however they want to be looked at, though. Like if a woman smart, not craft beer fan, not wants to be looked at as a sex symbol, she can be. Like that, that doesn't change anything about anything happening around. Like that is their choice. And the same goes for men. Like if I decided tomorrow that I'm changing all of my social media accounts and all I'm doing is posting myself scantily clad, balancing beers on my butt cheeks, I'm allowed to do that, and that's okay.
And you are allowed to do that. I'm not saying, I guess, you know what? And on that note, Gnarly Gnome has a calendar coming out. You can buy it coming out this summer. He's going to be in certain kind of dress wear. He's going to wear a firefighter's outfit, and he's barely going to be wearing anything with his shirt off, so you can buy that.
I would say this, and I say this with all the love that I can possibly give, Zach, is that if it's bothering you seeing scantily clad women advertising craft beer, that is more of a you issue than it is a them issue.
It might be. It, It might be. Maybe I'm just overthinking. I just thought it was a good conversation to bring up and see if anybody had any thoughts on it.
It's definitely a good conversation, and it's something that I think a lot of people are having. But there's a lot of conversations that people are having right now that if they think about them logically, they wouldn't be having them.
That's true too. And I guess to veer off from that subject, because we've talked about that, to veer off from that subject, I will say, going back into craft beer, I am pretty upset to find out that I messaged Ryan Geist because I've been looking for it. Every year I have a hustle. Baseball season's happening. Yeah. Opening day on Thursday. Super excited. I understand that Ryan Geist is selling Hustle on their tap, obviously in tap room. But mm-hmm. I just found out, messaged them today. Maybe I missed it last year. I don't know. But I could have swore they had them in cans. But the one thing I enjoyed about baseball season is being able to watch a Reds game and have that Hustle can in my hand, drinking from Ryan Geist when the baseball season starts. Granted, of course, Madtree brought their rounding third, and I like the new can design on that. But I am so disappointed. I don't know your thoughts on if you ever liked Hustle from Ryan Geist, but
yeah,
I'm so
loved Hustle.
It's not going to be in cans this year.
It's all part of the game. Like there are some things that make it into the canning schedule, and there's some things that don't. You can always go to the tap room and you can fill yourself a couple crowlers and take them home and put them in the fridge, and it tastes just as good. Plus two crowlers is perfect amount for a baseball game.
Baseball can.
No, I love cans, and I love I miss when we had more cans coming from breweries. Like that is definitely scaled back over the years. I think that we just don't get as many packaged beers as we used to. That's part of the game right now.
I guess that's just because of, we don't know if that tariff thing is still happening or whatnot. But like, I mean, people are still doing cans or whatnot. But I guess
it's consumers. Maybe, I don't know. We're just not drinking the way we were.
Okay. Apparently craft beer is dying, right? That's what they say. Just kidding.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan points out that Northern Row, Braxton, Grainworks, Madtree, Streetside, and Sonder all have baseball themed beers. And I think that might be a complete list. Or at least close.
No, really?
That's pretty close.
I was actually asked, is Braxton, I know they're doing the whole collaboration with the Reds this year in Kansas.
Oh, yeah.
Are they releasing those cans to the distro?
Yeah, yeah. They will be in Kroger for sure.
Okay, because I didn't know.
I also.
It's like only at the stadium thing. That's what I was asking.
Did I? I should have dropped this into. Oh, I did. Hang on.
Okay. Sorry, I'm not watching. I'm on the phone. So
no, that's fine. We'll wait. We'll do it another week. I have some pictures of some of the other Braxton beers that'll be released throughout the season. They so part of this Braxton collaboration with the Reds, they are the exclusive craft beer provider for the Cincinnati Reds. And Julia says, cans. Are we still talking about females, or are we back to beer talk? I'm confused.
Okay.
Well, Julia, you're confused because you're just a silly woman and you wouldn't understand. You're not really a craft beer fan.
So, I don't want people to think that you're not really a craft beer. I'm sorry.
I'm making a joke. We know. We know. I'm making a joke. They know. So Braxton is collaborating with the Reds, and that collaboration is not just ballpark beer. It is several different beers throughout the season that'll be released that are exclusive, kind of fun releases. So there's some good stuff coming.
Well, I'm pretty excited like that. And like I said, I know I've been brought by to my attention Brock, who works at it. I think it's Deadlow Brewing. He said they got theirs. He said don't forget they have theirs. And I know there's other people that have theirs, but I guess Hustle just has that special place in my heart because when I wasn't living in Cincinnati and I was living in Indiana, one beers that I always drink would for the baseball season would be Hustle.
I love Hustle. Hustle is a great. It was a. It's changed a little bit throughout the years, back and forth.
Oh, I know.
Oh man, like, it's a great like.
I'm trying.
Rye based pale ale, and that's the way it always should be. Oh, I love it.
I think so too. The grassy notes, because wasn't it originally like a red, the very first one, like a red ale or something like
no,
that?
No, very first one was the rye pale ale. They did like
the rye pale ale.
Then it shifted to like a red lager or something for a while, and then back to a pale ale.
But that around a lot. But yeah, it was definitely one. I don't know. Do you have a favorite baseball beer that you drink when the season starts?
Well, I mean, so there's great baseball themed beers. I love Rounding Third from Madry. It's a great baseball themed beer, but that's not the beer I'm drinking when I'm watching baseball, especially if I'm at a baseball game. I'm not crushing Rounding Third. Like, I'm going something super light, and that's, you know, if I'm going to a game this year, I'm crushing ballpark beer from Braxton, but something light like that, like that's what I'm drinking. I'm getting a Hootie, or I'm getting a garage beer, or you know, something. That's baseball beer.
I guess those are the simple baseball beers. But yeah, I mean, those are like two of the main discussions. Obviously, I don't want to keep you. Oh no, I did want to say I did listen to your podcast, by the way, with Blake today. Yeah. Really awesome podcast with him doing his collaboration with Loose Ends Brewing. I still yet need to visit Loose Ends Brewing, but pretty sure Blake said he's got a can for me whenever he sees me again, or Ron, one of the guys. It was very awesome that you got a chance to hang out with my buddy Ron. I've known him for years. Yeah. He said, oh yeah, the gnome was there too. And I was like, but he didn't say much, because usually in his misbehavior, they're talking about random stuff versus what you guys are so in depth. He's more used to the perverted stuff, drinking beer, but I just thought it was funny because I was talking to him on the phone today, and he was like, oh yeah, Gnarly Gnome, or he called you the gnome, was there too. Yeah. I was like, that's really cool. And then I heard the podcast today, and I'm just really excited for Blake and finally getting his own personal collaboration beer out there. So if anybody gets a chance, go check out Blake's. I'm sure it's on, I think it's on tap, and I don't know how many cans are left, but
they canned a decent amount of it. There should be some cans hanging out for a little bit. All right, the people
they
are.
They don't distro much distance.
Yeah, but we can get up there. It's not that far.
Yeah, it's not that far. It's like 30 minutes from my work.
It's not too bad.
I work out of Mason.
Yeah, that's just as close as half of the breweries in Cincinnati. The people are shouting for label approvals, Zach. So I got to let you go.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. All right. Well, you guys take it easy. It was good having a conversation with you. I didn't know there was label approvals tonight. I'll finish my Shamrock Feast from a Wandering Monster while I watch you.
Heck yeah.
Watch you the rest of the night.
There might be some Wandering Monsters in the label approvals.
Okay. I'm excited for it. I want to see it then.
Cheers, dude.
All right. Later, dude. Cheers.
All right. So before we get to label approvals, I got one more thing that I want to talk about. We'll make this one quick. And then I got to open a beer. Look what happened. I'm almost out. Couple weeks ago, it's been longer than that, a month or two ago, we talked about Bad Tom Smith closing, and I put out my thoughts about what the future for the brand Bad Tom Smith might have in store. And I had theories about it, and I think I might have been wrong. So this just popped up that now this is the listing. This little building here, which from this angle does not look very exciting. This is Bad Tom Smith's production facility out in Batavia, and it's for sale, which probably means that they're not opening a restaurant or taking this space here and building something that is the new Bad Tom Smith. No, they are just selling it, which is not, shouldn't be shocking. See, there's tanks. You can see it. It shouldn't be shocking, but it is kind of depressing. I'm not gonna lie about it. Like, I think that, like, I didn't always love Bad Tom Smith. I think that there were flashes in their story that I thought they were gonna head in a certain direction that got me excited. And then there were times that I was let down. There were a lot of times that I was let down over the years. But maybe this says more about me than anything else, but like, I just kept hoping that at some point they were going to tell some kind of story of redemption that actually really meant something. It was redemption for them and redemption for all of the people that have been in those tap rooms over the years and turn that story around. And it's not looking like that's going to happen. I mean, they made it pretty clear that they're not sure what the future of the brand looks like and that there might be something that they do to kind of keep it alive. I don't know what that is, but it is certainly not what I was hoping or thinking it was going to be. So that sucks. That sucks. Eric says, I had a Nuxie at Swine City a few years back. Alt beers are my favorite styles. Don't think it sold very well, so they dropped it. Yeah, that's the problem with some of those styles. Alt beer is a great example of one that just never really sells great. Mm. We need another beer. New glass. New beer. Speaking of baseball beers, this is not local, but it's baseball beer. So it's kind of to theme. And then we'll jump into some label approvals here while we do it. Okay. For the record, I'm drinking. This is called Major Lager. This is a Major Lager. This is from the Brew Kettle. It's Ohio. It counts as local, right? It's a lager. It's always in season. That's good. A ball game brew. Okay. This was canned on 10/13/25. That is not fresh. 10/13. Why would you make a baseball beer on 10/13? Oh, that's weird. Okay, whatever. We'll try it. I'm not gonna. No judgment. It's 4.5% ABV. Okay. 10. October. Was this like for the end of last season? Why would you make an end of the season beer? I don't understand. It's fine. All right. Major Lager. Let's see how major this lager is. It looks pretty major. All right, let's jump into these. All right, we're going to kick things off. Speaking of March 1st, March 1st brands, or as everything says on here, Cincinnati Distilling. That might be a good indicator of what's going on with March 1st brands. This is their Cooper Island rum that is now... The label art has been shifted to kind of look like the Still Rights brand that they purchased. But labeled as Cincinnati Distilling. I don't know how I feel about it. Cooper Island. I liked the old artwork. I don't know. I liked it. I mean, I get that it all is going to be more cohesive. No, I say no. That's what I say. I should have turned on the keyboard so I could just arrow through all of the labels. That's all right. That's fine. We'll make it work. Moving on. This is interesting, but it doesn't get me excited. Okay. This one is very interesting. Let me take a sip of this beer while we you guys take this one in. Mmm. Okay. Mmm. It's fine. It's a light lager. But yeah, it's fine. Tastes like maybe a hair old, but that's fine. 50 West. Apple Light. This is a light beer with a hint of fruit. A hint of apple. What's probably most interesting about this is that it's a series. If you look at the top of the label there above the like the shield where Apple Light is written, It's a series of fruity light lagers. I think this is super smart. It also probably gives them a chance to use up some of the fruit that they have purchased for sunflower that they can no longer use. Apple is not the one that I want. But I recognize that the bush apple or whatever, people like it. I want, like, I don't know, strawberry. I want... Oh, you know what I want? Forget that. Lime is easy, and lime is probably on the list, but lemon. Give me like just a light lager with just a touch of lemon. Oh, that would be good. What else? Not durian, before somebody says it. Oh, it's already there. I didn't see that before I said that. I assume we'll get like a variety pack here. I assume we'll have four different flavors and all of them too. Maybe not, though. The way it's written is a series. Maybe not. Maybe it is like six packs. I don't know. I'll let you know. Maybe I'll reach out to Bobby and see what's going on. Chris says we should throw the fruit at the governor. No, that's against the law. We should not do that. I do not encourage anybody to throw anything at their governors, wherever you may live. Eric says mango. Yeah, I could do that. Julia says pink lemon, almost like a Natterday. Natterdays were terrible, terrible beers. Okay. Five stories. This is something we've had before. They're barrel-aged gin, but this is the third release. Every release is a little bit different. It's barrel-aged. It's got its own personality. I am a huge, 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 can't say it enough, huge fan of this product. I'm pretty sure I should probably legally say that the bottles that I've gotten, I've not paid for. They've been gifts, which probably influences my decision, but I don't think it does because I think it's so good. I love this stuff. It is delicious, and if you haven't tried it, you should try it. You should try it fast because it's amazing. Speaking of Northern Row, this is their vodka line, this Good River Vodka. It's a series of bottles that they did, and there's proceeds go to protect the rivers and clean the rivers or something. I don't know. That's not the point of this label. The point of this label is that it looks like it's a 12-ounce can of something. It's definitely a 12-ounce can. and it says it's a distilled and packaged in San Jose. Good River Vodka plus iced tea is a premium small batch canned cocktail crafted to celebrate and support our local watershed. This is an RTD from Northern Row. Finally, I've been craving these. I want them. I love them. Iced tea lemonade. Perfect. I could crush these all summer long, and I actually really hope that I can. There's no guarantee on any of these. When we see these labels, it's a speculation. They have approval to make the product and package it with this label. That doesn't mean that they're going to. Also, I didn't mention this. I was going to before I jumped into this. This is curated. So I waited long enough that I got a good bunch of labels, and I threw out all the ones that aren't really that exciting. All of these are exciting for their own reasons. So it should hopefully be a little better show material. No added sugars, gluten-free, real fruit juice, naturally sweetened. All right. No added sugars, naturally sweetened. What does that mean? How do you naturally sweeten it without adding sugars? I actually don't know what that means. Is that like stevia or something? I don't know. I want this, though. I want this so bad. I want a cooler loaded full of this to drink when it's hot again. I pulled this one, so I don't typically pull keg collars because they're not that exciting and there's way too many of them if I did that. But this is Hootie 14K. We have not seen a release of 14K in a very long time, and it looks like Synbev, the Cincinnati Beverage Company, for anybody that doesn't know, the current producers of Hootie Delight and Little Kings and Moreline and all of that, it looks like Hootie 14K might be coming back. And, yeah, I'm all about that. Give it to me. Give it to me right now. Moving on. This is a Mad Tree beer. The beer itself doesn't get me that excited. It's a light lime lager, 4% with sea salt. That's fine. Like, there's 1,000 of those around. It's probably delicious, but I don't care. What I think is cooler is that it's a collaboration with the Cincinnati Zoo. Love the Zoo. I know a lot of you guys love the Zoo. Yeah, I like this. They are... I'm reading the label, seeing if there's anything else I can pick out from this. No, gives back to the Zoo. That's all we need to know. Look at the elephants right on the label. If you guys haven't been to the Zoo in a while, they redid the whole elephant habitat thing, and it's awesome. You can go and you can get a beer, and then you can walk over to the elephants, and there's like all these little spots that you can sit and just hang out and watch them while you drink. It is awesome. At some point this summer, I have to get an article written about drinking at the Zoo. That is on my list. It's very high on my list. That's going to happen. Moving on. Narrow Path. Okay. These are two beers that that have been out before. But I don't think I've ever seen a label approval for Narrow Path. I don't know. When you're just releasing beer in your tap room, you don't need a label approval. I don't actually think you need a label approval if you're just releasing them in state either. I could be wrong on that. Whatever the rules are, this means that this is a different type of distribution than we typically see from Narrow Path. And that is interesting and something to pay attention to. And it's two beers. It's the Tamave Pivo and then the Proper Pivo. Both Czech-style lagers, both great beers, both things that kind of showcase a big part of Narrow Path's personality. So keep an eye on this. I don't know what it means, but keep an eye on it. It means you should watch it. That's what it means. Okay. Definitely have thoughts about this. We saw Cincy Light Watermelon Sea Salt a while back. I don't know that I... Okay, let me... When I look at products like that and products like this, Blood Orange Cincy Light, I don't know that I need this. I don't know that I want it. I don't know that it's a product that needs to exist in my fridge or anything like that. I say that, but the last time I was at Rheingeist, I drank one of those watermelon sea salt Cincy Lights, and it was freaking delicious. kind of made me think a little bit different. I still don't know. Oh, you know what? No, even as I'm saying it, like, I'm picturing times where I would buy it. I was going to say that I don't know that I would ever find myself purchasing it. But although it's not going to replace just regular Cincy Light in my garage fridge, again, Ryan says this looks like an FCC beer. It does. It does, doesn't it? It's also in like what looks like, the can shape is weird. It's a 16 ounce can. Yeah. I mean, this is definitely an FC beer. If I'm camping or I'm filling a cooler for like a weekend at the pool or on a boat or on a beach. Yeah. I watermelon sea salt and blood orange might Might make the cut. Yeah, if I'm hot, it might make the cut. I don't know that I am like out there like craving either of those flavors or any of the flavors, but I might drink them. Okay, Shumrick and Lees used to be the name of the distillery. It is now Beckman Brothers Distillery over in Norwood. And this is their Shums. you get where it's going. They're going back to kind of that name as Dragon Slayer. It is a bourbon and grain neutral spirits with natural flavors. I have not been in there since the whole kind of 50 West shakeout thing happened with them. Zach says, is the watermelon out now? It was on tap in the tap room the last time I was there. I have not seen cans of it. I don't know if cans have been announced or if they're going to be announced. Obviously, this is all speculative. They may not be announced, but it was on tap. So Shum's Dragon Slayer Vanilla, and then their even more interesting Dragonwood Vanilla. This is bourbon whiskey and grain neutral spirits and natural flavors. Forged and flame fit. What is the difference? I don't know. Is this the same product, just cooler? It's like, hey, we made this product and it's delicious. And then, yeah, but can we make it better? Run it through AI. Better. Yeah, glad we did that. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I know very little about the distillery, actually, because it's very strange. Okay, moving on. Streetside. Spring Breaker. West Coast style Pilsner. I get it. I understand the style. Zach says, of Cincy Light. It's on tap. The watermelon sea salt Cincy Light is on tap, but I have not seen cans of it. I don't know that I need West Coast style Pilsner to exist. I recognize that it does. I get what it is, but I don't know that I need it. Like, just go one way or the other. Make me a Pilsner or make me an IPA. Nah, this in-between thing. No. With that being said, I'll drink it. I'll drink it. It's probably good. I think this has been released already. Watch out, Icarus Golden Raspberry Sour with Derive and, Lallemand Brewery. It's for the Craft Brewers Conference in Philadelphia. Ode to all things sour. Fruited heavily with golden raspberries. Notes of honey, tropical fruit, and of course raspberry are prominent, while being braced with a piquant sourness. I'm curious to try this. I have not loved a lot of the golden raspberry beers that I've had, but we'll try it. Third Eye. Oh, yeah, yawn. Sorry. This is Tercer Ojo, a Mexican-style lager, 4.7%. This is obviously exciting and probably delicious, but they also have lime and sea salt. It's clearly clearly a trend. Moving on. Another Third Eye. This is Tori Imperial Chocolate Coffee Stout. Oh, yeah. I can get behind that. Again, from Lallemand Brewing. I don't know anything about these guys. Why are they collaborating with a bunch of people in Cincinnati? I don't know. Using their alien. Okay. That's interesting. It sounds good. I mean, it's probably a great beer. It sounds really good. Another Third Eye, Unleashed Potential, Coffee Kolsch. We know that beer. Nothing too exciting and innovative there. We know it. Here we go. Here's a Wandering Monsters and Weldworks collaboration. It's called All Barrel, No Breaks, an Imperial Stout, Double Barrel Aged in Coconut Liqueur Barrels. What? What? Yes. Yes. That I can, yeah, give me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. Eric says, I thought they were just yeast folks. Okay. I don't know anything about them. It's interesting that there were two collaborations kind of at the same time here. But, okay, that's all our label approvals. And that's all I got for you tonight. What time is it? How do we do? 11:21. All right, okay. A little longer than anticipated, but that's fine. It's fine. I appreciate you guys. I love that we get to do this thing every Monday. Hopefully you guys enjoy it too. If not, sorry, we'll do better. We will try to do better. If you like this, if you like any of the stuff that I do, you can always go to thegnarlygnome.com/support and support that way. And I appreciate it very much. If you want to support in other ways, like get out and drink some local beer. That's the biggest support you can do. That's the whole point of all of this, is just to get people out in their local tap rooms drinking local beer or local products, we'll say. I do have a big event coming up in May 2nd. If you go to thegnarlygnome.com/alightinthetunnel, that is where you can get tickets to my first ever documentary. It's a project I've been working on for a year and a half, and we are debuting it at Urban Artifact and doing a little Q&A thing afterwards. Ton of fun. And I'm pretty pumped about that. And that's supporting in a different way. I'm not making any money off of it or anything. But it supports me artistically, I guess, is the best way to put it. Look, things have been busy. It's not going to let up for a little while. But the busyness, in a weird way, is enabling me to do more, to focus more on gnome stuff than I was able to before. And it's very complicated to try to explain, but it's good. We're headed into a very good summer for gnome content. So, yeah. Stay tuned. Stay tuned for good stuff. Cincy Drinks magazine launches this summer. When does summer officially start? It'll be warm outside, but I don't know that it'll be like the dead heat of summer. We're right on track for where that needs to be, and I'm super excited to get that out there into your hands. I'm not going to keep throwing links at you. If you want to subscribe, go to CincyDrinks.com, but we'll try to split links up into different episodes so you don't have to worry about them all in the same one. yeah, thanks, guys. We'll be back next week. We'll keep doing this thing and keep hanging out down here in the depths of the cold basement. I have to put on, like, sweatshirts because it's so cold this time of year. It's freezing down here. Like, my beer might actually freeze if I sit here too long. We'll see you next week. We'll do it again. I appreciate you. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you later. Cheers, everybody. If I can remember which button is the right button, I'm like 50% sure. Yeah, did it. wish you guys could see me right now trying to bend over and balance a beer on my butt. That's really hard to do. Like, you gotta use the cheeks to get it from tilting one way or the other. You gotta bend far enough over at the waist that it doesn't fall backwards. This is tough. I'm gonna keep trying, though. I'm gonna get it. Ah, fell. I'm gonna get it.